Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Bria Siegel, and today we will be studying Sefer Yonah, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. We left off at the end of Perek Aleph with a bit of a cliffhanger because Yonah has now been cast into the sea, and in this Perek we're going to find out what happens to him. And as we know, Hashem is not going to leave Yonah alone and let him die, which may or may not be what Yonah would want at this point, but that's definitely not God's plan. And I think we really have to wonder why. Yonah is rebellious, he has endangered an entire shipload of people, and he has made it exceedingly clear that he's really not interested in God's plan. He does not want to go to Nineveh, and yet Hashem is not giving up on him. Why not? Find a different prophet, find someone else who wants this job. Why does Hashem go to such great lengths to save Yonah? There are two answers I want to suggest. The first is that Yonah really is the best man for the job. Nineveh needs Yonah. Chazal tell us, "In shni nevi'im mitnab'im b'signon echad." No two prophets prophesize in the same way. Every Navi had his own style, his own personality, his own way of dealing with people. And so God cannot give up on Yonah so easily because he needs him. He is the best man to help out Nineveh. And the best proof of this is just how successful he is. And I hope I'm not ruining the ending for anyone, but at the end of the story, we see that he succeeds in motivating an entire city to do tshuva. He causes a tremendous transformation in a very short amount of time and really with very few words. So sorry, Yonah, but it's just not so easy to run away from your divine mission. God needs you and he's not letting you off the hook so easily. I think this is really a reminder to each of us that as Jews, there is no opting out. God knows what we're capable of and he has high hopes and aspirations for every one of us and he's going to hold us accountable to that. The other reason why Hashem saves Yonah and doesn't just leave him swimming in the sea is, I think, for Yonah himself. It's not that Nineveh needs Yonah, but Yonah needs Nineveh. And what I mean by that is Yonah needs to go through this experience. There's some sort of transformation that Yonah needs to undergo, and God wants to help him through that, through this experience of going to Nineveh and helping them do tshuva. And we'll talk more about what this transformation looks like when we get to Perek Daled, when we get to chapter 4. But either way, whether it's that Yonah needs Nineveh or Nineveh needs Yonah, or probably most likely a combination of both, I think this story reminds us, it reinforces that idea that Hashem will go to great lengths to save us even when we're somewhat undeserving. And that is a very encouraging message on Yom Kippur in the 11th hour, when we have just spent countless hours, days, weeks focusing on our flaws, on our inadequacies, to remember that Hashem will save us despite those shortcomings is a very inspiring feeling to think about on Yom Kippur. So how does Hashem save Yonah? Let's take a look together at Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayiman Hashem da gadol levloa et Yonah. Hashem arranges for a large fish to swallow Yonah. Vayihi Yonah bim eha dag shlosha yamim v'shlosha lailot. And Yonah lives, exists in this fish for 3 days and 3 nights. The symbolism here is so cool. Yonah is being housed by a fish. The ancient cuneiform character for Nineveh was a house with a fish in it. In Aramaic, Nineveh literally means nin, fish, and ve is a house. So Nineveh was the house of fish. Why? Because it was next to the water, so there were probably a lot of fish there. So here we have Yonah, who's running away from Nineveh, the house of fish, and ironically, he is absorbed by a fish. A fish becomes his house. Clearly, God has a good sense of humor. So as Yonah is living in as this fish is becoming his home, finally, in Pasuk Bet, in verse 2, Yonah realizes the time has come and he needs God. Vayitpalel Yonah el Hashem Elokav mim ehadaga, and Yonah prays to God from the belly of the fish. You may have noticed a little switch here. In the first Pasuk, it referred to the fish as dag in the male form, and then in our Pasuk, daga in the female form. So why the switch? Rashi explains that initially he was in a male fish, but it was too spacious in there and he was feeling pretty comfy, hard to imagine, but nonetheless, this is what Rashi says. And so there was no need to cry out to God. But God really wanted to hear from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaveh letzvilotav shel tzadikim. Hashem desires, craves the tzvilot, the prayers of tzadikim, of the righteous. So God decides to make things a little less comfortable for him. And so the male fish regurgitates him and he ends up in the belly now of a female fish. And not just a female fish, but a pregnant female fish. And now it's kind of squishy and it's pretty uncomfortable. And finally, Yonah is moved to pray, to call out to God. There are those commentaries that understand Sefer Yonah as an allegory. And in this train of thinking, Yonah is likened to the Jewish people, and the fish in our story, the male and female fish, are comparable to galut, some to exile. Sometimes we feel too comfortable. We're like Yonah in the big fish, and we don't feel the need to call out to God. So then Hashem puts us in a smaller fish, which is a harsher exile, where things are less comfortable and there's less room to breathe, in order to motivate us to call out to Him, because really Hashem wants to hear from us. And in Yonah's case, it works. And finally, under extreme stress, he calls out to God. And I don't think this was just physical stress. I think it was emotional and psychological stress of spending 3 days alone in a fish, of not knowing what happens next, of living between life and death. And this really could be another reason why we read this book on Yom Kippur, when we feel that same psychological stress. Our lives are in limbo, and we really don't know what the future holds for us. Yonah reminds us to channel that anxiety of not knowing what comes next and use it to motivate us to turn to God with even greater intensity. Yonah's tefillah, his prayer, which really is the crux of this very short parak, starts in Pasuk Gimel in verse 3. Let's read a few lines together, and I want to see what you think of this tefillah, of this prayer. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Karati mitzara li, I called in my distress to Hashem. Right? So we see that it really was this distress that finally motivates Yonah to daven to Hashem. Vaya'anini mi beten sheol, and he answered me from the belly of the netherworld. You heard my voice. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vatashlichini mitzula, you cast me into the depths, bilvav yamim, into the heart of the sea. Vinahar yisovavini, and the river whirled around me, and the waves swept over me. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Va'ani amarti, and I said to myself, I thought, nigrashti mi neged einecha, I have been driven away. You, God, never want to see me again. That's it. Our relationship is over. But no, I was wrong. Ach osif lahabit el hechal kachecha. I will continue to gaze at your beautiful temple, at the Beit HaMikdash. And the reference here to the Beit HaMikdash is so telling, because essentially Yonah was running as far away as he could get. And now look how close he wants to be. The Beit HaMikdash is the closest we can get to God. And we really see that he craves that closeness again. And so even though we don't have an apology here, right? There's no formal, I'm sorry, I messed up, I won't do it again. We do sense that feeling of, God, I need you back in my life. It's almost like a little kid who can't muster the courage to apologize to his mom. So he just runs over and gives her a big hug. And that says so much. So that's kind of like Yonah here. He can't really say, I'm sorry, but he so clearly wants that relationship with God again. And then in Pasuk Zayin, in verse 7, Likitzve harim yaradati, to the base of mountains did I sink so low. Yet you, Hashem, lifted my life. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Behita tif alai nafshi, when I was completely overwhelmed, Zacharti, I remembered you. And my tefillot, my prayers reached you. Mishamrim havlei shav chastam ya'azovu. Those who used to be very busy with futile and frivolous activities, they abandoned their ways. Right? This is a reference to the sailors who let go of all their avodah zarah and returned to God and committed their lives to the service of God. Ve'ani, and I, bekol toda ezbecha asher nadarti ashalima. And as for me, I am so grateful. I will bring you the karbanot that I have promised. Yeshua tala Hashem, salvation belongs to God alone. That's Yonah's tefillah. And I think you'll agree with me that this tefillah is so not what we would have expected. This just doesn't sound like a man who's stuck in a fish's belly, not knowing what's going to be, whether he's going to live or die. Look at his confidence. I know I will see the Beit HaMikdash again. And the whole tefillah is really a tefillah of thanksgiving. I'm so appreciative, and I'm going to bring karban notes. And you've raised me up, right? There's so much gratitude and there's so much confidence. And I think it's because of this that many of the Mefarshim have been pushed to see that this tefillah didn't really happen now, that this tefillah happened, this prayer happened after, when Yonah was already out on dry land, but it's placed here because this is when he was inspired to pray. But I want to suggest a different approach, and that is that even in the most difficult situation that Yonah finds himself in, he still has a tremendous amount of gratitude towards God, because he says, look, that boat was about to be destroyed, and you saved me from that. And then I was in the sea, and I never thought I would live, and you found a fish to swallow me. And now I've been living in a fish for 3 days, right? He does have so much gratitude to God for everything he's done for him in this situation. And that gratitude, that recognition of all that realization that God has done so much for me up to this point pushes Yonah to a point of confidence, to realizing God didn't put me through all this to let me die. He's going to help me. He's going to save me. And so exactly those two elements, the gratitude and the confidence, which are initially so jarring in Yonah's tefillah, I think are messages for us of how we need to think in terms of our own prayer, in terms of our own turning to God at the most difficult times. That even when we find ourselves in very challenging times, we need to always think about the things that we're grateful for. And no matter how difficult the situation is, there will always be things that we can thank God for. And then when we turn to God in gratitude and thank him for those things, we will realize how much God has been with us every step of the way. And hopefully, like it did for Yonah, that will push us to the sense of confidence of knowing that God's going to be there for us in whatever the situation may be. It's really beautiful that even in this most difficult time, he finds the strength to be grateful to God, and that leads him to this confidence. And hopefully that's something that each of us can incorporate into our own tefillot when we find ourselves in difficult situations. Before we close for today, I just want to turn to the last pasuk, which is really an indication that his tefillah worked, and that is pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Vayomer Hashem ladag, Hashem says to the fish, he instructs the fish, vayika Yonah el hayabasha, and he spits Yonah out onto the dry land. And we'll pick up next time with what does Yonah do now that he is safe on dry land? What's his next move going to be? Thank you for learning together. Li'ilui nishmat Malka Esther bat Tzvi Yosef.